crept up on me a little bit. I thought you were coming in next month, and then I looked at my... On Monday night, I saw it was February 21st and 22nd you were going to be in town. So I apologize for the late notice in bringing you in.
It's all right. It's all right.
So I wanted to find out a few things about you, because one of the interesting things that I was reading about in Publishers Weekly was that, I don't know if you set a record in terms of an advance for a novel, but it looked like something quite stunning. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, yes, I suppose it was a very good advance, but all it meant for me was that Night Sky was going to be given a chance. I really believe that books sell on word of mouth more than anything else. And, okay, if it got a good advance, that was wonderful, because it meant that it would get out in the bookstores and it would be there for people to pick up. But, well, the money, it's very nice, but it doesn't mean a lot, because, as you probably know, in England we're not allowed to keep very much of it anyway.
It helps to, a good advance from a publisher helps to stimulate the publisher to promote the book a little more aggressively than he might otherwise.
Yes, that's true too, because once they've invested a lot of money, then they have to get their money back. And it's, I've been amazed, because I've only just arrived, and yet the book is everywhere, and it's already in the bestseller list. I actually said to my publisher, what am I doing here? But they won't let me go back. yes, that is very true, but then they always had faith in the book right from the beginning, and they wanted it. And I think once a publisher wants a book, it, in a way it's immaterial how much they spend to get it, because they're going to put something behind it anyway. I don't think it's actually proportional to how much they have spent as to how much they put behind a book. I think it's how much they believe in it. I think if they bought it at half the price, I like to think they'd still have put a lot behind it.
Well, publishing houses do have a tendency of letting some books languish when they don't have confidence and faith in the book. And if they don't have confidence and faith in the book and they let it languish, the book just doesn't make it.
Yeah.
And that seems to be a universal complaint by authors.
Yes, yes, and that's true. And there are books, and I'm not going to name any names, which have had a push behind them that perhaps they didn't deserve.
This is not your first book, is it?
No, it's my first novel. But I've written three non-fiction before this. But they, well, two were about my own adventures at sea, and so were autobiographical, I suppose. And then a third was a history of man and the sea, to go with a television series I did for the BBC in England.
I think your American readers would be very interested in knowing about your adventures at sea. Perhaps you could tell us in kind of a nutshell what you did, this great accomplishment that created so much notoriety for you.
Well, first I cruised across the Atlantic single-handed in 73, which I did totally privately and no books and no publicity. But then
Wait. You say cruised across the Atlantic?
Well, yes, I wasn't racing. I wasn't against a deadline. I went from Falmouth in England to Newport, Rhode Island, in 37 days, which is quite a slow time. But then I went the easy route and warm way down through the Azores and across to near Bermuda and up that way.
All by yourself?
Yes.
Did that get a little lonely?
Oh, yes, yes. But I did it because I wanted to, and it seemed a good idea at the time. And it was a great challenge and an adventure. And
why did you want to do this?
I wanted to do it because I wanted to experience that sort of adventure, because I've always loved the sea, and I wanted to reach out and do something beyond anything else. To live with a capital L. I wouldn't do it now. No way.
You could go ballooning now.
No, I've retired from that.
Parachute jumps, then.
But I did do it again, you see. I did it again in 1976 in the transatlantic single-handed race from Plymouth to Newport again. And that was when I became well-known in England because, well, first of all, the weather was very terrible, and it was an unhappy race because two people lost their lives, and many boats had to turn back, and some sank. But I made a film of that race, filmed it single-handed with soundtrack, which almost killed me in the attempt. But I did it, and I made a very truthful and serious diary of it.
Did you have one hand on the rudder, the other holding the camera?
No. Well, the boat had what we call self-steering gear, which you call vane gear or something. Anyway, it steered itself most of the time, and no, I had to put the camera up on the somewhere on with a clamp, and then I had.
And you had to run in front of it.
Well, no, I did have I did have a way of starting the camera with a remote lead, but then I had to start the sound at the same time and then synchronize it and all this sort of thing. So it was a bit of a nuisance to do it, but then it was a way of keeping a diary, which the BBC said I could keep afterwards for my own personal use. So that was worth doing for its on its own account. And anyway, when this film was shown, it caused quite a sensation. I think because I'd been truthful. And I think that men who'd kept similar records, that they're not so truthful. I think they put a brave face on things. But I cried in front of the camera, and I said things were not going so well, when indeed they were not going so well. I mean, the weather was terrible. I think it touched people, it moved them, and suddenly my life wasn't the same again, and it hasn't been since.
You became a public figure.
Yes, in England, yes. Mm-hmm. And I wrote a book. I'd already agreed to write a book about that race, and when that came out, it was a bestseller, and so that was the beginning of my writing career.
Mm. Tell me about Night Sky. Tell me a little bit about the book, what it's about, and who the characters are.
Well, the book, it was something I'd thought of doing for a long time, and the reason I thought of doing it was because I had become a public figure and a television personality and various other things, and I had to decide whether I was going to make a career in television or whether I was going to write.
Let me be parenthetical for a moment. As a television personality, what sort of television were you doing? Talk shows? Or?
Yes, I had my own talk show, both on radio and then on television for a short time. And I was offered another television series and so on and so on. I had to decide which way my career was going. And I decided that television was a bit too public for me, and I'm a very private person, and I like my privacy. And so I decided I would prefer a writing career, and also I wanted to write. I mean, I wanted to. There was something there which was saying that this was good for me and that I would enjoy it very much. And so I decided to cut down on my television and lecturing. Although I had to keep lecturing to earn my keep while I was writing. But I cut it right down to the minimum. And I locked myself away for a year. Although I'd spent a long time before that researching Night Sky. I'd come across the idea for the book when I was researching my book on Man and the Sea. And I'd come across in a small library in these tiny islands off the southwest of England called the Scilly Isles, or the Isles of Scilly to be precise. I'd come across in this library this small item about what had happened in the Second World War in the islands. And this pricked my curiosity, and I looked into it further. And then I just researched for a year around what became Night Sky. Night Sky is really several stories that I discovered, which I plotted into what is quite a long and complex book. And I knew once I'd found that idea that that was it, that that was what I wanted to write about.
Did you have any difficulty making the transition from non-fiction to fiction?
Yes, of course it's difficult, because non-fiction, you're meant to stick to the facts. In a way, it's a question of just editing what's really happened to you if you're writing about yourself. that in fiction, of course, the problem is keeping to a strict storyline and keeping the pace going and all these things. And I think I have an instinct for pace and plot and story. That's fine. My difficulty was finding the right style for the story. And that took a long time. And that was a very depressing time until I got it right. But I'm always my own greatest critic, and I knew it wasn't right when it wasn't right. And so I just kept rewriting and rewriting and rewriting until I got it right.
Did you lock yourself away, free from distractions?
Yes, I had an attic in the house I was living in then, and so I put myself up there. But it's still difficult because I had a young child, and he would be playing downstairs, and I wanted to be with him. So that was very difficult. But I'd allot time to the different parts of my life, and I was very strict, yes, and I'd be up there 9 o'clock in the morning, and I'd sit there until I'd finished my allocation for the day.
Did Night Sky come out prior to the American edition in England?
In England, oh yes, it's been out since September in England, yes.
Oh.
And it's been in the bestseller list nearly all that time in England, yes.
And you say it's already on the American bestseller list.
Yes, I didn't understand. I've just arrived in town for publication day, which is Wednesday today, and I find it's already the bestseller list, so I was a little surprised at that. But it's been out in the bookstores, I think, for about a week, and it's already up there.
What kind of schedule do you have in this country?
Well, I have 2.5 weeks of going round, and I finish back here in New York.
Where are you going to be going?
Well, I'm going to Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Chicago, Houston, Cleveland, St. Louis, Indianapolis, Los Angeles.
People don't read in those towns.
Now, I've heard things about New Yorkers, and they think that this is the only place in America. But I've heard there are other cities out there, and they do read.
Actually, proportionately, many of the smaller towns, many of the smaller college towns have a greater percentage of readers and book buyers than New York.
I'm sure that's true. But I've heard that if you do the full tour of this country, it takes you 3 months to recover. So
it's going through the time zones.
Well, yes, it's just, I think that, I mean, you are my first interview. Do you realize that on my tour here? So you find me fresh and ready to go. But I don't think that'll be quite true when I return to New York.
You'll be exhausted. But, you've been to the United States a number of times before, but this kind of visit, you'll really see the country in all the geographic areas. I think it would be a fascinating experience.
Well, except that really all you see are the cities and the airports and the hotels. And when people say, well, where have you been? I say, I visited Canada and America. It sounds as though you've actually seen the fabulous scenery and the wonderful places, but I'll see an awful lot of airports. It's really just not the same as taking a vacation.
Well, you can always hit the best restaurant in every town.
Ah, well, yes, there's always hope of that.
How do you like America?
Well, I just spent a week in Florida we call it holiday. You call it vacation, don't you?
Where in Florida?
Oh, well, of course, Disney World with my son. And
Dick Francis lives in Fort Lauderdale half the year.
Yes, that's right, yes. He's a friend, no relation, but a friend. And yes, he does, and he writes there. In fact, he does his writing in Florida.
Dick comes up every year, and we chat every year. He'll be in next month, I believe, for his third visit with me.
Amazing! Yeah. He's a book a year person. I will never be. I'll be a book every 2 years. Well, because Night Sky is a long book, and I think I'll always be writing longer sort of books, and also because I need to know I'm going to have time off after a book to get me to write it. And I need to feel I'm going to have a nice year of, well, not entirely of no work, but at least of not writing.
Well, Claire Francis, do you have a new project in the works?
Oh, yes. I have another book in the planning stages, which I will start writing as soon as I finish this tour. And I've got an idea for a book after that as well.
Thank you very much for coming.
Certainly
appreciate it, and I hope you enjoy the next 2.5 weeks if you survive it.
Thank you.
You're not going to row your way back to England, are you?
Oh, no. I sail strictly for pleasure, and only when it's the weather's good.
Thanks again.
I didn't tell you anything about the book.
Well, you did actually. Would you like? I did ask you for.
Yes, you did ask me, and I never answered the question.
Would you like to?
Up to you.
I would like to have a little.
Okay.
Just like a 30 or 40 second capsule.
Okay, fine.
A description of the plot.
Yeah. Well, Night Sky, I think of as a thriller, but I think it's a bit of a novel as well, because it's a lot about characters, and it's three main characters in the Second World War, and they're very ordinary people. I wanted an ordinary hero, and in fact my hero is a woman. You note she's not a heroine, because she's the central character, but she's not at all heroic. She's a very ordinary person who grows through the book and has to meet a challenge or several. And then the villain, if you like, is based on a real character who really existed, who was a traitor in France and betrayed people to the Germans. And my third character is a scientist, very similar to many who existed in Germany, and really had the secret of shortwave radar, which the Germans had under their noses but never utilized. And anyway, I won't spoil the story by telling you what happens to him. But the three characters come together. It's a story also of how airmen were spirited out of occupied France by the resistance and taken to England by sea. And a lot were taken out through Spain in other ways. But I was very intrigued by how they were taken by sea under the noses of the Germans. And this is, again, all based on fact. And it's basically a thriller, but I think it's also a novel in that it's a story of characters and how they rise to what is required of them.
Claire Francis, I know Americans are going to be looking forward to reading it. So again, thank you very much.
Thank you.